Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Mr. Bitu Das is a friend of ours. Bitu is a part of our ministry residency program. He's one of our new interns and is a student at DTS, Dallas Theological Seminary. And I wanted you just to get to know him a little bit, get to hear a little bit of his story. It's been a pleasure getting to know Bitu over the last several months, and I wanted to introduce him to you formally this morning. Bitu, welcome. Tell us a little bit about your story and where you're from and what God's doing in your life during this season, my friend.
Well, thank you, Pastor Dave. It's been a privilege to be part of the Arapahoe Baptist Church family. And as I explore more things that I could be doing with the church, I want to let you in into a little bit about who I am, where I'm from, because, you know, I don't look like you guys. So you guys are you're like, where's this guy from? Well, as Pastor Dave said, my name is Joshua Bitu Das, and I've been born and raised in a city called Chittagong in the nation of Bangladesh, and I've been blessed to be born into a humble family, and I'm really grateful for my parents because they've taught me the fear of the Lord from a very young age. I've been going to church before I was born, it's a privilege because in a nation that's only 0.3% Christian, God predestined me to be born into a family that knew the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's not an understatement because, it's a 0.3% Christian and 90% Muslim, 7% Hinduism, and the other disseminated with other religions. And I got to know the Lord at a very young age because my father and mother taught me and I was in the family prayer from a very young age. When I graduated high school at 18, I started a small ministry called Witness Ministries in Bangladesh because I felt need because the church is not active in evangelizing, and I'm like 0.3%. That's not gonna do. You know, we need to start stepping out of our comfort zone and letting people know about Christ. So I started a small ministry called Witness Ministries. God led me through business school, and I was leading the ministry as I went through business school. And after my business school, I was wondering, you know, Lord, where do you want me to go? I've been interviewing with some multinational companies in Bangladesh. They've offered me some good positions, some healthy benefit packages. But when I went to the Lord, I just felt that He led me that He has greater things in store for me, and I needed to trust in Him. And then He was leading me towards seminary, and then I started applying to DTS. And when I started applying to DTS, I'm like, Lord, you know that my family can't even afford 1 month of my seminary expenses. I'm gonna trust you in this. And I applied, and I was privileged enough to be awarded a scholarship for my tuition and my living expenses. And that's how God provided for me over the journey. And He provided me a church home. And I'm glad that I have Arapahoe Road Baptist Church as a church family. And I'm looking forward to what God has in store for me as I start serving with you guys.
Yeah, we're really grateful that B2's here. And B2, yeah, you can clap for me. Like, should I clap now or not clap? Or, one of the things that he said, you know, I don't look like you. No, you look like our community. And as I see who's coming here as a part of this faith community, it really looks like our neighborhood more and more. And you are welcome here, and I'm glad that the Lord's brought you here. And looking forward to learn how to reach out into our community more and more through what we learn from you. Hopefully, we'll be used of God to help prepare you for what He has in store for the rest of your life. And we're really grateful that He's brought you here. He's going to be working in different aspects of our ministries here. One of the places that he'll be serving and has been is with our young adults, our young single professionals, and he's just bringing fresh eyes along with the rest of our residents and seminary students. They're helping us to think about how we can reach our community and be who God wants us to be as we continue to follow Him. So welcome, friend. We're glad that you're here. Would you pray with me for B2 this morning? Lord, we thank you for B2. We're grateful that you've brought him here. The very first Bangladeshian DTS student in the history of the seminary. And Lord, you've seen fit to bring him and entrust him to be here with us at Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We're grateful that you're going to raise him up, train him up, and use him not only here during this season, but Lord, to reach the world in the years to come. And so, Lord, while he's here, I pray that you'd mold him and work in his life and use him and allow us to get to know him and love him and be a part of his family here. Lord, we pray for Bangladesh this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit would move in that country and would draw many, many men and women and children to your kingdom. And however you want to do that, Lord, it may be through B2 in the coming years, that's what you're preparing him for, is to go back and to begin a whole new work there, or to continue the work that you've already started. But Lord, we thank you for how your Spirit is at work, and we pray for our friend B2 this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Help me to thank and welcome B2 once more. I love that the Lord is bringing the nations to our community and into this church, and just excited that it's our church family is looking more and more and more like the neighborhood that he's planted, Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We're in the middle of a series called The Nine, and we're studying the nine Christian virtues or fruits of the Spirit that are found in a couple of verses in the New Testament over in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. That's the basis of this whole series. And as we begin our time together this morning, I want to do what we've done the last couple of weeks and just make you aware of a resource. If you haven't already, most of these resources have already been picked up. I think there's about 10 left up here. If you haven't had a chance to get one of these little kits that help with family discussions or husband and wife, you can have some great discussions over the nine different virtues that we're talking about in this series. Roommates, a great opportunity to let some of these resources in here guide you. They'll be right here after the service is finished this morning, and feel free to pick one of those up. Grateful for our friends over at Lake Point Church, for Greg Bradford over there, who's been a part of this series. The things that we're talking about, the words we're using, the resources that we have, they're sharing with us, and so we're really, really grateful to them. We started this series off a couple of weeks ago, and when we started, we talked about the first virtue that we see in those verses from Galatians 5, and we talked about love, and then the week following we continued with talking about joy, and then last week we looked at what it means to live lives that demonstrate peace. Peace. And so today we're going to take the next step in our journey through the nine. We're going to talk about patience. Patience. Now, everybody just take a deep breath right where you're at, because patience is a virtue that we probably all struggle with a little bit, right? If you said no, then we've got a different issue that we need to deal with. That's called honesty. but we all deal with this issue of patience. We don't live in a culture that really values patience. when you stop and think about it. I mean, when you stop and think about it, we live in a culture that values expediency, that values hurry. We want things done not now, but a few moments ago, and now it's too late. And I mean, we just want things quickly. However, if you stopped and you just took a survey, you asked people, would you like to be a more patient person? I think everybody would go, well, yeah. I mean, I'd like to be a little bit more patient. I'd like to be a more patient person. We just live in a culture that's not patient, that values expediency. I mean, if you're an Amazon Prime user, raise your hand if you use Amazon Prime. You're admitting you've got room for patience to grow, because Amazon Prime is amazing, because anywhere you live in the world, at any time, you can get anything and it'll arrive on your doorstep within 2 days. That's crazy. Why did this service even begin? Because we're impatient. Because we are impatient. And let's just talk about that a little bit. Why are we impatient? Now, I think that the reason that many of us struggle with patience is that we tend to walk through life with certain expectations. Let me write that word on the board, expectations. Expectations. We have certain expectations in life. Did I spell that right? Close enough. Certain expectations. See, think about that. We have certain expectations when it comes to our relationships. We have expectations. We have these desired realities about how we expect things to be. We have expectations with the people that we work with. We have expectations with the people that we live with. We have expectations with the people that we're married to. We have expectations with the people that we're raising. The people that we're raising have expectations of us. I mean, that all around us, there are these expectations about how we think that life should be and how we want these relationships in our life to go. And I really believe that it's our expectations that really inform a whole lot of the decisions that we make in our lives as we walk through our lives. And then something happens. Reality hits. Reality. R-E-A-L-I-T-Y. Reality hits. All of a sudden, we find ourselves in this gap of how we expected things to go and the reality of how they're really going. And we find ourselves in the middle. We find ourselves in the gap. When I do premarital counseling, we talk about conflict that oftentimes arises in marriage. And where I believe it originates is in between our expectation of marriage and the reality of marriage. We find ourselves in the middle there. After the honeymoon is over, we had all these expectations, and then reality sets in and stuff gets hard and stuff gets like difficult, and it's like, wait a minute. Well, maybe it's even on the honeymoon. You're finding out, wait a minute, my expectations were this, but reality is this. And we find ourselves in this gap, and within that gap, we begin to become a little bit disappointed. I mean, whatever it might be, we thought we had the expectation we landed this great job. Everything starts off great and wonderful, and then something turns. Maybe the economy turns, and reality hits, and we find ourselves in this gap, and we have disappointment. And if we're disappointed long enough, that disappointment in between our expectations and our reality begins to turn to disillusionment. And maybe that's where some of you are today. Maybe that's where we are today. This morning, as we begin to evaluate this picture, that you had about your life, how you expected your life to be, and the reality of how it really is right now. You may have had all these expectations about where you thought life was going to lead you, and your reality is pretty different. And there's a gap between our expectations and our reality. And we can call this gap the conflict gap. We can call this gap the disappointment gap. We can call this gap the disillusionment gap. But what I want to refer to this gap today as is our patience gap. Our patience gap. You might just want to jot those words down. Patience gap. Patience gap. See, the patience gap is that place between our expectation and our reality that oftentimes is where we find ourselves. And it's in this patience gap where oftentimes God wants to grow patience in our lives. Take a look at with me in your Bible over in James chapter 5. I want to show you a couple of verses of scripture in James chapter 5. If you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, James 5 is going to be on page 1013. If you don't have a Bible, come see me in the Home Life Center when we're finished in a few moments, and I'll give you a Bible. Or you can just turn on your Bible if your Bible's on your phone or wherever you read the Bible. The words will also be on the screen. And I want us to look at how James talks about patience. I think James gives us a beautiful picture of what patience really is. In James chapter 5, beginning in verse 7, he says this about patience. He gives a verse, and then he gives some analogies. He says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord." Then he gives this illustration. Look at this. "See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains." Verse 8, "You also, like the farmer, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Check this out. What are we supposed to do while we're in the patience gap? Well, he tells us in verse 9. "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You see, patience isn't a reality for some of us because life's expectations are not realistic. It's like getting off at work at 5 p.m. Raise your hand if you get off at work at 5 p.m. Raise your hand if you wish you got off at work at 5 p.m. Raise your hand if you wish you just had a job to get off work at. Yeah. Man, you get off work at 5 p.m. and you're working kind of downtown and you're thinking to yourself, "Oh, well, it's 5 p.m. I'm gonna merge on to 6:35 because traffic should be light right about now." Not having traffic on 6:35 at rush hour is not having realistic, help me, expectations. See, for some of us, we've got this patience gap because our expectations in life and our reality in life, they're not even close. They're not even close. See, a lot of times we place unrealistic expectations on the people that we care about the most. We understand they are not where we thought that they would be or where they should be. And so, man, it causes us to experience this patience gap in our lives and in our relationships. And oftentimes we place far too many expectations on what our spouse should know about us, should do for us. Sometimes our expectations of people are way too high. Sometimes they're not high enough and we need to up the ante a little bit, but oftentimes they're just way too high. I mean, remember that illustration from James 5 that we just read about the farmer? Look at that again. James tells us about a farmer in James 5 verse 8 who understands the expectations of whatever he's planting and he hopes to harvest. That's not going to come about the next day. It's going to come about in the future. See, the reality of the farmer is this. He has good expectations. reasonable expectations. He knows what he can expect from the crop that he's planting. He knows reasonable expectations of how long it's going to take. See, the farmer has good expectations. And for some of us, patience isn't a reality for us because our reality doesn't allow for anything but a breakneck speed. You don't see that breakneck speed happening in the farmer's expectations. He's like, this is going to take a little while. This is going to take a little while. See, the farmer, he understands expectations and reality by allowing time for things to unfold, the crop to grow. See, there's this time he realizes that I've got a plant. Then there's this season for waiting, and the early and late rains are going to come. I've got to nurture this plant, and then I can expect a harvest. See, but for us, many times, the pace at which we live our lives, it doesn't even allow for the insufficiencies or the inefficiencies in other people. Man, we love to play the blame game at times, don't we? Think about that. You ever play the blame game when it comes to patience and you're sitting there going, well, but if you understood my boss, see, if you understood my boss, you'd know why I'm not very patient. You'd know why I get irritated so quickly, or maybe it's in marriage. Man, if you knew my wife, my goodness, she's always, if you knew my husband, you know he's just not a good communicator. See, we've all been there in whatever our situation is. And we oftentimes like to explain away or excuse why we don't demonstrate patience in our own lives. And we say things like, well, I'm just a perfectionist. Or, man, I'm just type A personality. That's just the way I am. That's the way God made me. We blame God for our impatience. Now, see, the reality is, if we look closely at James chapter 5, he doesn't give anybody a pass on not being patient. He says, be patient with one another. Don't grumble against one another, verse 9. Stand firm. Be patient. As a matter of fact, James really uses some pretty strong words that God really takes issue when it comes to this patience, virtue, this fruit of patience that God wants to grow in our lives. And the reality is that all of us really do want to be more patient people. So the question then is, why is it not a reality in more of our lives? Well, let's dive a little bit deeper into this subject of patience. And let's look at what patience biblically actually is. Patience, at its core, is an expression of two things: hope and grace. Hope and grace. See, it's really interesting if you study the whole book of James. James uses a couple of different words in his letter to describe and to talk about, to illustrate patience. Now, the first word that he uses actually is not in James 5. It's actually over in James chapter 1. It's not on the screen, so this is for those of you who actually have your Bible there. You get blessed because you're opening it, you're looking at it, okay? So in James 1, turn back just one page or so in your Bible, and look, he uses a word for patience. Sometimes the word patience is translated steadfastness or endurance. Patience, it all means the same thing. And here's what James starts off his letter in James 1, verses 2 through 4. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or endurance or what? Patience. Patience. And let steadfastness, endurance, patience have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So this first word in the Greek that he uses there is the word hupomone. Hupomone. Hupomone literally means to stand your ground. to stand your ground, to stand firm. As we're thinking about what patience is, it may actually be helpful to look at the opposite of what patience, hupomone, means. The opposite of hupomone means to lose hope, to give up. Hupomone means the opposite, not to lose hope, not to give up, to stand your ground, to grow in patience. We've all been in one of those situations before, a place or a situation in our life when on the inside we may say, man, that person always frustrates me. They always do the thing that irritates me. Or we look at life and we say, man, it's never gonna turn out the way I expected. My reality's never gonna change. That's the opposite perspective of hupomone. Hupomone is that sort of patience, steadfastness, endurance that says, you know what? I'm going to choose to stand firm in the gap here. And we can have this kind of patience in even the most trying times with the most trying people in our life, because there's something that we know. There's something that we hold on to in the midst of the gap. And here's one of the things that we're holding on to. It's this. It's that God is at work. I may not see it, but I believe it. Why? Because the Word of God says so. You go, where does it say something like that? In Romans 8, verse 28. You might just want to jot that down. Romans 8, 28. You don't even have to turn there. It'll be on the screen. Look what Romans 8, 28 says. It says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. See, that verse tells us that God is a God who is at work in our circumstances of our lives, even when our expectations don't match up with what our reality is, and we find ourselves standing or sitting or camped out, rooted in the patience gap. And see, here's where you have some good news. If you're one who loves God, you can rest assured that God is at work not only in your life, but in the life of your boss. You go, really? Really? That means God's at work in the lives of your kids, your teacher, your coach, your business partner, in the political, in the middle of your marriage, He's at work. He even is at work in your mother-in-law. I got a great mother-in-law, by the way. Get that on the record. She's awesome. See, God's in the business of being at work in the gap. That's where He does His best work sometimes. God is at work in the circumstances of your life. He's at work in the circumstances of the political arena, in the business sector. I mean, you name the thing, that's where God's at work. And when you and I begin to remember that, we begin to get a clear picture of God being at work in the circumstances, in the situation, in the people in your life. Man, there's a great deal of hope that even while my expectations and my reality, there's a big gap, you can know, man, my God is at work there. And you can have patience, hupomone, standing, seated before the Lord. It's not all that that passage in Romans talks about. It also says that we know that God is at work in all things, and that God's at work for our good. He's not just at work, He's at work for our good. See, while we're in the patience gap and we're waiting for God to continue working, God is creating something good that is of value for the kingdom and for your life. He really is. Look back at what it says in James chapter 5, verse 7 that we were just in a second ago. James 5, 7 says this, "See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being what? patient about it until it receives the early and the late rain. See, what it's saying is, man, there's something good, there's something valuable, there's something precious that comes about when we stand firm and wait for God to work and bring about something good. Last week we were in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 were some that we looked at, and Paul wrote these words. Look again what it talks about here. He says, not only that, it's on the screen up here, should be Romans 5, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces what? You know what that word is in the Greek? You're going, nope, that hippo word? Close. Hupomone. It produces hupomone, endurance, steadfastness, patience with hope. That's what sufferings produce. And that endurance produces character, and that character produces hope. What's that mean? That means in our most trying times, with the most trying people in our lives, God is at work in the patience gap, and He's not just at work, He's at work for your good. And He's at work for my good. Can I just tell you, there is no better illustration of God at work and working for the good if we'll just have some patience and allow that patience to be grown in us than when Jesus is on the cross. Listen to what Hebrews 12:2 says about patience. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set where? Before Him. Endured the cross, was steadfast in the cross, was what on the cross? Patient. You know what that word endure is? Hupomone. 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 Jesus stood His ground against sin, death, Satan, and hell at the cross. He didn't give up because He had unflinching resolve, because He knew that His Father was at work. He was up to something good. He was at work in the gap. And Jesus is going, I must have patience, endurance, steadfastness on the cross while I'm in this gap between what I always hoped and expected it could be and the reality of how the sin shattered. I'm going to wait on my Father, and He's at work, and something good is on the way. That's the kind of patience that God desires to grow in us, friends. It's the kind of patience that says, even while I'm in the gap, I'm going to stand my ground. And we know that God is at work and that God's timing is best. Sometimes in our lives, we get frustrated, don't we? We get frustrated because things aren't moving fast enough like we want them to. And yet, we have this resolve, we have this belief that, yes, God is at work. And that's where our patience begins to grow, friends. As we believe that God's timing really is going to be best in our lives. His timing is the best timing that's going to yield the most fruit in our lives. So how do we make this choice in our gap to trust God? We get to say, I know what my expectations are, I know what my reality is, but I believe that You are my Father in heaven who knows what I need as Your child. So I'm going to stand in the patience gap and trust that You're at work and it's for my good. And it's not an empty hope, friends. Rather, that's a hope that's built on the promises of God. Past promises, future promises that sustain you in your current reality. Hupomone, patience. Yes, patience is an expression of hope, but patience is incomplete if you don't add in grace. It's about hope and grace. See, there's another really interesting word that James uses for patience back there in James 5 where we started a moment ago. In James 5, the word that he uses there, it's a pretty common word throughout the New Testament. The word is macrothumia. That's kind of a, wow, how did that come out of my mouth without it being a cuss word? Macrothumia. It's a big word. Macrothumia. Macrothumia is translated long suffering. Long suffering. To bear with the shortcomings of others without immediately retaliating. That's what long-suffering is. That's what macrothumia is. Some scholars suggest that the word macrothumia can be translated delaying wrath for as long as possible. Can be likened to a short fuse, which comes with people who are impatient. You ever heard somebody, man, that person got a short fuse? They lack macrothumia. See, if you tend to go off at the drop of a hat and you just want to retaliate, that's not what macrothumia is. Macrothumia is a long fuse that it's gotta burn a while before it's gonna blow up. It delays wrath for as long as possible. It can bear with the shortcomings of others and choose not to retaliate in the morning. In the moment. Look on the screen at Colossians 3, 12 and 13. It uses the word macrothumia in here. It says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, meekness, and patience. Macrothumia. Bearing with one another. Long fuse. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, check this out. Not holding it against them, but what? Forgiving each other as the Lord's forgiven you. You know what forgiveness is? Forgiveness is giving up all hope of ever having a better past. That's what forgiveness is. Long fuse. Now, you're a fool if you're just going to let it continue to blow up all over you. That may mean you need to take some steps to not be in the middle of a blow-up. But as much as it depends on you, there's patience. Again, no better illustration than the cross of Christ. When we consider the extent to which God was willing to go to demonstrate His love for us, to pour out His mercy and grace upon us, to demonstrate grace and mercy to us. Think about it. If He did that for us, why in the world would we then withhold grace, withhold mercy, withhold love, withhold forgiveness on someone else who desperately needs it? And see, if you're standing or seated in the patience gap today, and your expectations are about as far apart from your reality as they can be, can I just encourage you with something? You're in the best possible position for God to do something great in your life when it comes to patience. You're sitting in the patience gap. And it's when we sit in the middle of our expectations and our reality that we've positioned ourselves, whether we really wanted to or not, for God to grow patience in our life. Patience grows in the same soil in which it is tried. Patience grows in the same soil in which it is tried. Can we just take an out loud note together on three? One, two, three. Patience grows in the same soil in which it is tried. In other words, if you're going to become more patient, then we may need to consider positioning ourselves, putting ourselves intentionally in a place where God can grow patience in our lives. See, when you put yourself in a position where patience can grow, what you're doing is you're choosing not to speed up your life, but to slow down your life from a pace that's not sustainable and that is unhealthy. And if you want to grow patience in your life and work with God to grow patience in your life, be about intentional slowing. Some of you are going, I don't like that one. Well, then you're right where you need to be this morning. Welcome to the patience gap, friends. You know, what does intentional slowing look like? How many of you are going to get in your car and drive to work tomorrow? Yeah? Going to see any traffic? You're going to have lane options. I can go left and go fast, or I can go right and go slow. What if you chose this week to go right and go, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. I'm saying choose to go slow and be reminded that as I'm driving to work, I'm learning patience. I'm mindful that God's slowing me down as I choose to position myself to go slow. Let those early and late rains of the Spirit wash over me. Next time you go to the grocery, anybody go to the grocery store today? You do grocery shopping on Sunday afternoon? Online shopping's awesome. You don't have to wait, but that's a bad illustration when it comes to patience. Go to Walmart and get all your stuff, and then as you're looking for the short line this week, look for the long line and just wheel in behind there. Don't get your phone out. That circumvents the patience gap. When you get up there and it's your turn, you can go next. Love your neighbor. Keep that phone in your pocket. Why? Because you're choosing to intentionally break your dependence on an expedient and efficient life. Nothing about God's kingdom is fast. And it teaches us that we don't have to go fast all the time either. One of my friends who was confessing about driving without directions and got lost, he said, I just started going faster and faster. And he said, the faster I went, the loster I got. It's terrible grammar, but it makes a great point. And sometimes the best lessons in life and the best things in life come when we slow down and we wait. And as we do that, we can grow that patience in our life and we can begin to seek out solitude by slowing down. You want to learn patience, the spiritual discipline of slowing down and finding some solitude physically in your circumstances, creating some solitude mentally in the crowded space in your head is going to be helpful in you realizing, yes, God, you are at work. Yes, it is for my good. It's the place where you can begin to get away, remove some things from your space, not to leave your responsibilities for somebody else to come back to it, but after you've slowed down and created a little solitude and a quiet space. For me, where that is right now, it's walking my dog out in the woods. It's not just to get him exercise and for him to make my right arm longer because he like just, but it's to create a little solitude. And I talk to God there, and he reminds me he is at work. And it is for my good. And when I think about my expectations and my reality, and I find myself in the patience gap, what he's doing is growing the virtue of patience in my life. And it comes with hope. And it comes with grace. And I get to extend that to others as he's growing it in me. Remember Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not a result of our religious determination. It is a byproduct. When we take Jesus at his word and we abide in him as he abides in us. That's kind of a neat little sound right there. We abide in him, in his word. And we just go, Lord, grow in me the fruit of patience as I slow down and find a little solitude. And as you do that, may patience grow in you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.